My father was a foundling. I know.
you're a Mandalorian. No, I'm not. So, your ancestors rode the great mythosaurs. No, they didn't. Oh, so, man, dude. I forgot to mention.
Wait. Yeah, we should talk about it. But first, hello and welcome to The Popcorn Isn't Real. I'm Leif Eric. I'm here with my brother Torvald.
That's me.
Welcome back, because guess what? We are talking more about, well, this time we're going to focus more on the Book of Boba Fett.
Yes.
And our theory related to that.
Last time I mentioned, you know, how I'm a huge Mandalorian fan because I made my own Mandalorian costume. And I believe your Boba Fett theory so much that I actually took the entire first episode of The Mandalorian and re-edited it. I did my own takes, like my own recordings of every single line that Din Djarin delivers. Every single line the Mandalorian says, I recorded my own take of that line with Boba Fett inflections, and then I deep faked my own voice into Temuera Morrison's voice, as Boba Fett. And then I re-edited the movie to dub over all of the Mandalorian's lines with Boba Fett's voice saying his lines. Yep. And I kept like sound effects, music, other people's dialogue. I kept everything intact. It was a very meticulous and difficult process.
You replaced flashbacks with shots from Attack of the Clones.
Right, because
I was a kid.
Truly believe that episode was about Boba Fett. And those flashbacks were supposed to be flashbacks of Boba Fett and his life and his dad getting killed. And also, I had to edit some of the dialogue to be like, you know, when people are like,
it doesn't make any sense.
When people are like, you're a Mandalorian, I had to have Boba Fett be like, no, I'm not. But it still works. Like, it's fantastic. People would think he's a Mandalorian.
Foundling, he says. My father was a foundling.
It's true. And she's like, I know.
Says, I know.
Of course she knows. He's Boba freaking Fett. She would have heard of him and Jango Fett. She knows. Everyone knows.
I mean, there must have been some sort of like issue when she makes him a new pauldron.
Whoa. Oh, dude. She's like, has your sigil been revealed? And he's like, Yes. But I've always liked mud horns. I think I want a mud horn on my new pauldron someday. And it's like, very good. And that explains it a few episodes later when he gets a mud horn sigil. And this is another reason I truly believe that Mandalorian season one was supposed to be about Boba Fett getting his armor back. Because what does the Mandalorian do in the first episode? He gets a piece of his armor. He has crappy armor, and then he gets his real armor. And then the next episode, he gets the rest of his real armor. I think this was supposed to be the process of Boba Fett recovering his armor in whatever way they had imagined. And they quickly rewrote it to be like, I don't know, it's a Mandalorian like forging his armor. And why does he do it piece by piece? Well, first he's only got a little bit of Beskar, so he just gets one piece, and then he like gets more. I don't know.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I've got my own episode with Boba Fett's voice to prove that he was Boba Fett. And let me tell you, it works even better than the Mandalorian's voice. It's a fantastic episode. You've seen it. What do you think? Am I lying?
Oh, no, it's great. I love it. I especially love when the Ugnaught is like, your people used to ride the Mythosaur. He says, no, they didn't.
No, he says, you are a Mandalorian. And Boba Fett says, no, I'm not. And then he says, your people used to ride the great Mythosaur. And he's like, no, they didn't.
No, they didn't.
Because his people didn't. He's not a Mandalorian. Oh, man. And then the best part is at the end, he's talking to Boba Fett / Din Djarin, and he's like, you're a Mandalorian. I knew that you would come in and take care of this, and once you've taken care of it, you will take it and go, and then there will be peace. And then Boba Fett looks at him, and he goes, but I'm not a Mandalorian. And then the Ugnaught turns back to him, holds up his fingers, and says, I have spoken, and leaves. He's like, yes, like, you are.
You are a Mandalorian. I say you are.
It works so much better because in the original, Din Djarin didn't say anything. Why is this guy being all like, I have spoken? It works so much better when he's like, no, why are you saying I'm a Mandalorian? He's like, shut up.
I'm not a Mandalorian.
Oh, man, I love that. I love the Bobalorian cut. It's my favorite thing. I put a lot of work into that. I wish I could release it to the world, but unfortunately, never going to happen.
So. Now we're on to the next theory in the Book of Boba Fett.
So you had a really good theory here that I'd love to hear you say more about. The Book of Boba Fett starts out and we see a sunburned Rodian in the desert with Boba Fett after he escapes from the Sarlacc. And I had no idea who this was. I was just like, oh, poor sunburned Rodian. And then you laid on me a really cool theory that I think everyone should know about.
That is true. I didn't know we were going to start with that. But
by the way, I love that Rodians just turn red when they're sunburned. They're like lobsters as they cook.
There is a Rodian at Jabba's palace, and I believe on his sail barge, and his name is Beedo.
Beedo? And that sounds like another Rodian I know named Greedo.
He looks just like Greedo, even wearing what seems to be his costume.
It's literally Greedo's costume, but it's not.
He is even wearing an orange vest, but it's not Greedo's costume. He's wearing Princess Leia's white, like, vest
her
from Hoth
costume,
planet.
Yes.
Yeah, but it's dyed orange to be an orange vest like
just
Greedo's,
like Greedo.
Which is
weird
they would take the time to do that when they know Greedo is dead.
Yeah, it's
they
so weird.
Know that at this point. It's the third movie. But if you look close, it even still has Leia's rank insignia on one side.
It's definitely a reused piece of costume from Leia.
So, canonically, Leia brought this with
this
her
means
when
that
she came as Boosh.
She packed it in her bag, and she had it just
brought
in case
her
it
luggage,
got cold.
Because, you know, she knew she'd stay at least one night at Jabba's palace. She had to rescue Han Solo.
She's like,
she packed her clothes.
Like, I don't know how cold
it gets on. Most recently, I guess
Tatooine.
She had been from Hoth to Cloud City. She didn't have time to, you know, get other clothes.
Jabba's people raided her clothes after they captured her and took all of it.
And Beedo took this as a prize.
And it means that in Rodian culture, which is the species of Beedo and Greedo, having an orange vest is the height of fashion, or at least is in vogue. So he's like,
well, I mean, Greedo started that. People love that guy.
Right,
like, whoa. He
Greedo
stood
was
up
a
to
great
Han Solo
bounty hunter. I mean,
didn't quite survive, but
you
nearly
wouldn't
did.
Know it from A New Hope. But Greedo was like, he was a great bounty hunter, right? Like,
so in the old EU, Greedo was like supposed to be a super young bounty hunter who had never done anything before.
Yeah.
And that's why he was so bad against Han Solo and just died. But we learn when the prequels came around that Greedo was like a friend of Anakin's.
Yeah. He was there on Tatooine. He's from Tatooine.
Greedo
He's a native.
Greedo is much older than Han Solo by like a lot.
Yep.
He was a veteran bounty hunter by the time he was hunting down
Very
Han
much
Solo.
So.
And he just had one bad day.
One bad day is all
you know?
It takes.
Just one screw up.
Well, I like it because it explains why he was so overconfident, right? Like, he doesn't care about Han Solo. He's hunted a million smugglers down. Is this one more? Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if it's Han Solo.
No one would shoot me under a table.
Yeah. He just didn't even think to
I mean,
check.
Well, he was also pointing his gun at him. So, like, it is pretty gutsy to to also take out your gun.
Well, that's another reason that Han shot first, right? Because he knew he was dealing with like a veteran bounty hunter. He knew who Greedo was. He knew him by name.
So the theory is that Beedo
we're still on that?
Like, tragically survived the Sarlacc, climbed out just like Boba Fett, was captured by Tusken Raiders just like Boba Fett.
Which makes sense.
And, you know, because he didn't have any, like, sunscreen like Greedo did. He just lived in this Tusken
cooked.
Camp and turned, like, red.
Yeah.
Just beat red.
Poor Beedo.
And that is the Rodian, and got different clothes.
Yeah.
And that is the Rodian that Boba Fett meets in the Tusken Camp. And then after surviving all that, he just dies.
Yeah, he just gets killed by some giant random four-armed monster. I don't even know what that thing was.
Yeah. It's like Goro.
Yeah, it's just a Goro snake that lives in the sand. So the thing that threw me for a loop, though, which was that apparently, possibly, Boba Fett was in the Sarlacc for a lot longer than, like, a day. It might have been months or even years.
No,
so
we don't know.
Beedo has apparently been getting dragged around by this little Tusken clan for, like, potentially months or years.
What can he do? I mean, he was working for Jabba. Now he's working for the Tuskens.
Well,
he helps them dig up
black
gourds.
It does explain why he's so subservient to them and why he resists escape when Boba Fett tries to escape. He's like, no, I like it here. I got a good tan. Like, I've never looked better. This is great. I don't have to wear women's vests anymore.
I get to dig up these water rocks.
Okay. So those, I just have to say, it seems to me that water fruit diggers would be a billion times more successful on Tatooine than moisture farmers using evaporators to suck the tiniest amount of condensed water out of the air. Like, if there's just water-filled rocks in the ground, why doesn't everyone dig those up? Why are we first hearing about them now? I thought that was so stupid. There's not, that doesn't exist on Tatooine.
The Tuskens would raid moisture farmers' camps they want to get moisture. Water.
Yes. Well, I mean, all we can assume is that these are the only Tuskens that actually know about these water fruits.
Yeah.
Somehow maybe everyone else missed them. Yeah, maybe.
They're like squirrels. They just bury nuts. They don't remember where they are.
Oh, crap. I think they're somewhere around here. Slaves, so they look just for them.
Randomly.
Oh, jeez.
Or maybe it was literally just that kid.
Oh, that was his thing.
Tusken kid.
He's been cultivating these water fruits. No, they're not fruits. He literally just put water in containers and buried them. And then Boba's like, water fruits. It's kind of weird. The water doesn't taste good at first, but then you can never live without it. it's just old rotten water.
It's the Tusken Raiders pee that he buried.
Oh, no. Oh, jeez. That's another thing that confuses me about Boba Fett's story. Was he inside the Sarlacc for 9 years? Because he didn't spend 9 years fixing everything after he got out.
Yeah, it's really confusing. I believe it is supposed to be that he spends several years with the Sand People before they all get killed.
It must have been because it's supposed to have changed his entire life view.
Yeah, I know. It's so dumb. I think it's a combination of the two. He was in the Sarlacc for a while, but he also spent a while fixing everything and just not getting his armor, even though he was apparently, he must have known where it was. He's standing right there.
I don't know, dude. Something crazy happened to his brain. But we'll get to that.
He's standing right there. He knows it's there. Why else would he be there?
I know, it's really weird. I don't know what happened there. I mean, all you can say is that he must have had his brain muddled from the months and months of being in a coma inside the Sarlacc.
Yeah,
I guess C-3PO wasn't lying when he said you'd be digested slowly over the 1,000 years. The Sarlacc really does keep you alive, and apparently the Sarlacc nourishes you because Boba Fett came out fatter than when he went in. The Sarlacc must actually be pumping nutrients and fat into you. Yes, that was my favorite part. Actually, I was like, wow, the Sarlacc is totally canon now.
It's not his fault he lost his figure.
No, the Sarlacc did it. It was fattening him up. It wanted a good meal.
You don't eat a barf like that all at once.
No. It's Boba Fett. Even the Sarlacc knew who Boba Fett was. I gotta enjoy this guy.
Is the name of the short story from Tales from Jabba's Palace, which is amazing. It's a contained thriller about Boba Fett escaping the Sarlacc. And that should have been episode 1 of the Book of Boba Fett.
I appreciate that they probably kind of had some awareness of that story, because there are parts of the Book of Boba Fett that are similar to that story. Instead of Dengar nursing him back to health with the help of Manaru, it's the Sand People kind of taking the same role. Well, what's the actual theory?
So if you've watched the Book of Boba Fett, you might just be thinking what were they thinking?
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. What were they thinking?
What is going on here? This is crazy coming from Jon Favreau and Dave Filoni, the people who did The Mandalorian.
Which is a great Boba Fett show. How could they make such a horrible Boba Fett show?
Yeah. So I can explain why Filoni did what he did in the Book of Boba Fett. And I'm going to blame most of this on Filoni. I know Favreau is involved. So let's just refresh ourselves with a story. Now, this story is going to sound familiar to you. A beloved Star Wars villain falls to his death. He inexplicably manages to survive. He's taken in by a secretive, weird society of mystics. These mystics help him get back to full health using strange rituals. Showing no character continuity, this person decides to become a crime lord for no reason. He tactlessly fights anyone in his way to gain control of an already existing crime organization, while taking every opportunity to crap all over the old canon. He talks and monologues a lot, despite his character being popular for his mystique and talking very little. He recruits a group of colorfully clad, expendable idiots to do his bidding. Once in charge, he seems unsure what to do with himself and mostly sits around doing nothing. Now, what story is this?
Sounds like the Book of Boba Fett.
It sure does. But this is, you guessed it, the Book of Darth Maul.
What?
Wait, what? Yes, Filoni already told this exact story once. This isn't the first time he's resurrected a fan favorite character who died too soon.
Oh, you're right.
So,
ooh, okay, I see where you're going.
So, let's go over those events again. Maul and Boba are popular villains who died too soon. Now, side note, Boba is like ridiculously more popular. Like it's hard to overstate how much Boba like popularity he has.
Just saying, you're not downplaying Darth Maul's popularity, because I know he's popular.
No, people like Darth Maul.
Yeah.
But like
Boba Fett is on another
makes
level.
He is the most money on merchandise.
He is the most popular Star Wars character besides Darth Vader.
The
and
main
sometimes
characters.
Surpassing Darth Vader, depending on the year. But yes.
No, it's crazy just how his character endured from four lines of dialogue and like 6 minutes of screen time.
Yeah.
So Maul and Boba both die by falling to their deaths. Same manner of death. Maul and Boba both survive rather dubiously and inexplicably.
Yeah.
Maul somehow manages to live in a junk heap and get a spider body.
He gets his spider legs. spider legs.
Boba digs his way out of the Sarlacc with his hands. We don't know how.
I don't know how.
They didn't show that.
It just kind of happened.
They should have just taken the short story from Tales of Jabba's Palace
really
and made it
have.
Into an episode. It would have been amazing.
Anyone with half a brain would have done that. The only way you wouldn't have done that is if you think you're just so amazing that your stupid story is better than someone else's already established story. What kind of unbelievable like self-fellation would it take to think that you're
a Filonian.
Whoa. No, you'd have to have the mind like of an absolute narcissist to be like, my fanfic is better than the actual canon, so I'm going to make mine canon, right?
Now, they are both found and taken in by a secretive group of mystics who heal them. Maul is taken in by the Night Sisters, who do mystical rituals to give him a new lower body. Boba is taken in by Tusken Raiders, who do some mystical rituals involving him eating a lizard through his nose.
Yeah, that was fun.
I just ate
your lizard. That was a good line.
I like that.
I love how casual he is about it. He's like,
he's just like, sorry. That was an accident. Like, dude, they gave you that lizard and it crawled into your nose. Nothing about this is your fault.
Well, no, it's great because he's more worried about like the fact that their gift is gone than the fact that an animal just crawled into your head. Like, he's like, oh man, I'm so sorry, guys. Not like, get it out of me.
Is this have you ever eaten anything through your nose?
Well, yeah, this
before?
Is Boba freaking Fett. This is all old hat to him. Like, it happens, guys. Sorry, I just ate your lizard through my nose.
Now, both Maul and Fett, defying all consistency for their character, decide to become crime lords for no reason.
Yeah.
In my opinion, this is one of the worst arcs of Clone Wars, is when Maul does this.
Everything you're saying about Darth Maul, just for clarification, everything you're saying comes from the Star Wars, the Clone Wars TV show, the animated show.
So,
and
this
that
all
show,
comes from the Clone Wars.
As we know, and as we talked about in the previous episode, that show was helmed by Dave Filoni. Is that right?
That's correct.
Right. And Dave Filoni, I think, is key to a lot of your theories as pretty much the guy with the keys to the entire Star Wars universe at the moment.
Well, he is literally the guy with the keys.
Yes.
Like, he's the person they put in charge of everything now.
Great. And you think that he basically screwed up the Book of Boba Fett and is currently screwing up The Mandalorian. And that's pretty much your theory.
And Ahsoka, yes.
Okay, cool. Continue.
Yeah, the Darth Maul arc in Clone Wars made Force wielders, like, way overpowered. Maul single-handedly takes out 3 crime syndicates like at the same time, and I know he's a Sith Lord, but like he takes out the Black Sun, he takes out like the Pike Syndicate and the Hutts, and forms Crimson Dawn. And I was just so angry that they recanonized Black Sun,
just
a very
to take
popular
them out.
Thing, just to have Maul take them out like they're nothing. And at least they didn't bring back Prince Xizor, but they do
they
have him kill like
Xizor.
10 Fallen mob bosses. So basically he kills like 10 Xizors.
The best part about Prince Xizor is that if you have a toy of him, you can turn its head around and then like the tuft of hair coming out of its back is like his nose. And you can make him like go around sniffing things like an anteater.
Now, with similar tactlessness, Boba Fett takes over the former Hutt cartel, which is what Darth Maul did. Yeah. He goes into Jabba's palace and just straight up threatens Jabba to his face. And Jabba's just like, well, okay, we'll do whatever you say.
Do anything.
It's like, yeah. Jabba didn't work for the Crimson Dawn. Jabba is his own thing. I was just so mad about that. Darth Maul goes to the Council of the Hutts, like one of the most powerful
cartels. You can't
cartels
defy the Council? What are
in
you
the
doing?
Galaxy. He just straight up kills most of the Hutts. He just kills them all. It's just so, I was so mad about this whole arc. So anyway, Boba Fett takes over a former Hutt cartel by shooting Bib. So just killing indiscriminately, similar to Darth Maul. He just walks in and kills the boss. And apparently there are no guards.
No,
just that easy. So that part at least is similar. Guess what? He spends the whole season fighting and eventually overthrowing the Pike Syndicate, which is something that Darth Maul also did.
Yep, that's true.
Both characters spend an awful lot of time talking, despite being well-liked for being mysterious and quiet.
Uh-huh.
Now, Maul
definitely
never shuts up in Clone Wars. Like,
I know.
He sounds like Jafar. And he's constantly monologuing. He's become like a stereotypical Disney villain rather than like in the original. He was like this cool cat-like Sith who just like paces around,
yeah.
You know,
he never
says
talks.
Much
says,
at
like,
all.
One line in the entire.
He says like, we shall have our revenge.
Uh-huh. That's it. That's
all he says. Boba kind of, you know, talks a lot, takes off his helmet and most of his other clothes.
Yeah, he loves being
all
naked.
The time. It's like someone thought that Temuera Morrison was going to be in really good shape, and I don't know why they thought that.
Well, I mean, he's in okay shape for his age. I mean, I'm not going to knock Temuera Morrison. He's like, he actually is a martial artist and he's taking care of himself. He's just not, you know, a spring chicken anymore. He's an aging
man.
He's
not sort of, you don't want necessarily want him on screen taking his shirt off
right.
In like a diaper in a Bacta tank.
I know. They should have just kept him in his armor and he looks cool. Like, just, you know.
Well, and then you don't even, like, Temuera Morrison could just do the voice. You could have anyone be in the armor. That's what they do in The Mandalorian.
Exactly.
Now, it's also weird that filmmakers seem to, like, have a hard time embracing the idea of a quiet character who wears a mask.
Yeah.
And they just always have him take it off.
Well, I just
like,
can't
on
believe
on the Halo
that,
show.
Because, yeah,
like,
exactly.
Master Chief.
No, and I always see people online being like, well, I understand it is hard to write for a character that can't, like, express with their face.
Oh, it's
so
not.
Much of it no, I'm like, that's, like, my ideal character to write. I mean, I'm not like the world's most
it's
prolific
easy.
Writer, but I love writing a character who's like mysterious and whose face you can't see.
You
it's
just
fun.
You have them do things.
Right. You have to make their personality and their wants and desires and ambitions known through their actions and their words. Whoa, crazy, right?
We've already seen it work with The Mandalorian. Which
yeah,
is
and Darth freaking
popular.
Vader, one of the most popular
yeah.
characters who's ever lived ever.
So how is it that they just can't seem to fathom that people can keep their helmets on.
I don't
get it, but whatever.
I just don't know.
They both recruit a group of colorfully clad expendable idiots. We all know that Boba infamously recruits some scooter riding cyborgs who don't really matter. Maul, after defeating all the crime syndicates, goes to Mandalore. So Mandalore has already been taken over by Death Watch, who are just like this crazy terrorist organization. They're super dangerous. They're the Mandalorians. Maul just kills them. Just goes there.
Oh,
and even though Mandalorians were supposed to be one of the few non-force wielding people who could handle their own against a Jedi, Filoni just nerfs them. Like, it's not even Maul. In one episode, the very first time Padawan Ahsoka ever meets Mandalorians, she is a Padawan and she just jumps up and beheads 5 Mandalorians in one sweep.
Oh, no.
And that is ridiculous. Like, I believe freaking Master Windu could do it to Jango.
Yeah.
But not Padawan Ahsoka to 5 Jangos at once.
Well, to be fair, Jango was like one of the deadliest people who ever lived. He was known for like hunting down Jedis. You know, he's a little better than your average Mandalorian. But yes, 5 Mandalorian warriors at once should be far too much for one Padawan.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and they're Death Watch, at least, you know, they're not untrained. They're not unfamiliar with battle. You
mm-hmm.
know,
no, like, she just kills them. I agree.
Maul defeats Pre Vizsla, who's the leader of Death Watch, and takes the Darksaber. So now he runs the Mandalorians and they just do whatever he says. And so they all wear differently colored armor. So that's the comparison to the cyborgs.
Why does Maul want the Darksaber? He's already got the world's coolest double-sided lightsaber. Why does he want it?
I mean, he wants it so he can control the Mandalorians. Why does he need that when he already controls all the crime syndicates? I don't know.
Well, also, when they're such, like, absolute wusses, why would he want to control them? They suck.
I know. They.
Since when is it part of the Mandalorian way to follow a person with a lightsaber? That's the opposite of their creed. It's so stupid.
After taking over these crime syndicates, Boba and Maul just kind of do nothing. Their plans are vague at best. So the end of Maul's arc, I actually liked, because after he did all this, and all of this was just to gain power so he could take on the Emperor just straight up shows up on Mandalore and just wipes the floor with Maul.
Yeah.
just destroys it. He shows up, instantly kills Savage Opress, and then just destroys Maul, and Maul barely manages to survive.
Yeah, as he always does. So he can just come back and get killed by Obi-Wan later.
Well, and then Maul shows up again in Rebels, and then Kenobi just kills him in a cool Kurosawa-esque fight scene.
So cool.
Which means it's really fast.
Yep, nothing happens. He just dies. It's a good fight scene. It's great.
Yeah, no, I like it. I think that was the best part of Rebels for me.
I mean, that alone kind of justified Maul coming back for me. And if that was all he did, I would be really happy. I think that would be a great return for Maul.
So, I don't know exactly what Maul's plan was, and I have no idea what Boba's plan is.
No, even Boba doesn't know what his plan is. He has no idea what he's doing.
But at least he gets to ride a Rancor, which, oh, hey, wait, what, where are Rancors from, and who are known for riding them?
Oh, no, the Dathomirian witches. They are Rancor riders. Yeah,
and where's Maul from?
Dathomir.
Yep.
That was one of my favorite parts of the Book of Boba Fett, was that it completely canonized Rancor riding Dathomirian witches. Yeah,
that was like a Timothy Zahn thing.
That was amazing.
that's old lore.
Dathomirian witches riding Rancors? That's a name I haven't heard for a long time.
As a writer, sometimes you do get brought into a project and you end up recycling some old storylines.
Why would you be brought into the Boba Fett project if you have to recycle a storyline?
You should have something
good to go for a character of this gravitas, right? Like, this is Boba Fett. He's the world's most popular Star Wars character at times.
I know Filoni is beloved and Clone Wars is great, but I think Filoni is good at certain types of stories, maybe Jedi stories and war stories, but just like not Bounty Hunters and Mandalorians, apparently. I had already seen the Book of Boba Fett. And then I was watching through all of Clone Wars in chronological order, and I watched the Maul thing, and it just hit me. And I was like, this is the Book of Boba Fett.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
this
sounds
is the same story. They just recycled it. That's my theory, is that they just recycled Darth Maul's story. But I don't necessarily have an explanation as to why, and maybe we can.
I think the why is just that Filoni is not very creative. I can't say that.
So, I mean, there are other elements in the Book of Boba Fett. And I know that Filoni, he talks about how George had a love of Westerns. He talks about how they try to incorporate kind of these Western themes into Boba Fett. And so that's, I think, where you can kind of explain a little bit of the Book of Boba Fett, is that they're trying to shove together a bunch of Western tropes. So Boba Fett is the new sheriff in town, right? That's kind of the whole, for whatever reason, he's taking over Jabba's throne, but he is acting like a sheriff, right? He's walking around town. He's trying to keep the peace.
I just have to say,
everyone hates him.
I've said this to you before. This show would make a lot more sense if Boba Fett was the new sheriff in town, but he's not.
Yes.
He's the new crime lord in town. It would make so much more sense if he was like, because he's a bounty hunter. He is all about law enforcement. That's his thing. Well, he works with the law officers in various groups to hunt down people who are lawbreakers.
Yes.
It's not like he's a bad guy. It's not like he loves crime. Like, he doesn't want to be a crime lord. He also, you know, is not averse to killing and hurting people to, you know, enforce the law. So it could make sense if he had a massive change of heart due to whatever circumstances and whatever he did with those Tusken Raiders. It could make sense for him to come back and be like, you know what? I don't want to go down in history as a heartless bounty hunter. I want to make a difference, right? And he could say, I'm going to clean up this town. And then we would have had an interesting show about Boba Fett and Fennec, you know, his deputy, cleaning up Mos Eisley, Mos Espa, right? That could have been interesting. I'm not saying it would have been the perfect Boba Fett show, but it would have made a heck of a lot more sense than what we got. Yeah. I don't even know what we got. It's just insane. Yeah.
It would have made sense. Stupid. Like, he comes in, he could even still kill Bib Fortuna. Sure. He kills Bib Fortuna, and he's just like, this is a lawless town. I'm going to bring law here. And that makes sense, because he hunts down lawbreakers. Filoni has this issue where he doesn't seem to know what a bounty hunter is. He has equated them to mercenaries, thieves, and outlaws. They're not mercenaries, thieves, or outlaws. Now, a bounty hunter might also work as a mercenary, but that's a different job they're doing, right? They can do different things.
Mm-hmm.
But Filoni in Clone Wars has a whole arc where he copies the movie Cube. I don't know if you've seen that movie.
I know of it.
But basically, they're in a cube-shaped room that is full of death traps. And a group of bounty hunters are put through these death traps to find out who is the best bounty hunter.
Whoa.
Excuse me, this isn't bounty hunting.
Nope.
Bounty hunters are not outlaws, they're law enforcement. They work for the Empire, help catch criminals, and a jump from bounty hunter to crime lord just doesn't make any sense.
Makes no sense, no. It's like the opposite of what a bounty hunter would want to do.
In Mandalorian Season 1, they seemed to know what a bounty hunter was.
Yeah.
Because Greef Karga says, bail jumper, bail jumper, bail jumper. That's what bounty hunters do. Just going back to the Western tropes, I can also see tropes of like, there are movies where Clint Eastwood is left for dead and wakes up in the desert and goes to hunt people down. There are tropes like that in this show.
Yeah, but he's not getting vengeance.
There are also tropes where someone gets, again, left for dead and they're healed by like Native Americans. Like a tribe takes them in, like Jeremiah Johnson.
That's what I was going to say is I understand that Boba Fett plus the Sand People is Jeremiah Johnson. For those of you who haven't seen Jeremiah Johnson, you might know it as the gif of that bearded man very subtly nodding to the camera. That's Jeremiah Johnson.
And if you're like me, you probably saw that gif and thought it was Zach Galifianakis, but it's actually Robert Redford nodding.
Oh, man. Robert Redford went above and beyond for that role, by the way. You should see Jeremiah Johnson. Great movie. And it has Robert Redford.
It even has an intermission.
It's got an intermission. It starts with a song, too. It starts with Robert Redford, like, just leaping around in a completely real, frigid, icy river, trying to catch fish with his bare hands. Dude must have just been freezing his ass off. Oh, man, it must have been so cold.
That's probably just how Robert Redford wakes up in the morning.
I know, that's just, like, how he lives. I assume he insisted that they do it for real, because, like, no, I believe there's actually a story where they were like, yeah, we want to do this scene, and Robert Redford was like, oh, well, I own this, like, forest right here, and I know this icy stream. Let's just do it there. And they were like, oh, we thought we could, like, simulate it. And he's like, no, come on, bring the camera. And he just, like, starts jumping around in this icy river.
Just film it.
Right. So Robert Redford he's, like, a genuine badass. But I get that Boba Fett and the Sand People is, like, a modern space retelling of Jeremiah Johnson. Except that, as far as I remember, Jeremiah Johnson didn't come back into town and kill the local mafia boss and then try and become the world's nicest crime lord. It's not what he did. No, what is this?
They're mixing together a whole bunch of Western tropes and they don't make sense together and they're not good together. And also none of them are what anyone wanted from a Boba Fett show.
No.
Because we already have what we wanted from the Boba Fett show. It's called The Mandalorian. And no one would have minded a second Mandalorian show.
Especially when the Mandalorian is currently so far removed from bounty hunting, right, which is what we want from Boba
Mandalorian
Fett.
Mandalorian Season 3 had no bounty hunting in it at all, so Boba Fett could have taken that torch up.
I mean, in my opinion, Boba Fett taking up the mantle of the bounty hunter TV show would have freed the Mandalorian to become what he really wants, which is the Mandalorian and Grogu show, learning about Mandalorian stuff, right? Like,
yeah,
that would have been great.
That's what he's doing anyway. Yes. I can see maybe like their logic of like, but we can't just do the Mandalorian again.
Yeah, except the Mandalorian isn't this anymore. He's not bounty hunting. All I can think of is that they really don't know what bounty hunting is. Because that's the only reason that you wouldn't make a bounty hunting show about bounty hunting. I mean, it'd be the greatest thing ever.
No idea. They're so confused. I mean, there are so many examples from Clone Wars where they do stuff with bounty hunters and it doesn't make any sense. So, like, I also have a theory that Filoni just hates Boba. I think he despises this character. I don't know if that's true. He's talked about him in interviews and he doesn't seem like he hates him, but, you know, his actions
deep down, deep seated in his heart, he's like, oh, Boba.
The little screen time that Boba Fett gets in Clone Wars makes you really feel for poor Boba. So after his father is killed by a Jedi, he's raised by a bloodthirsty sociopath, Ara Sing, who is crazy abusive.
And it annoys me because it was supposed to be Bosk. Bosk was supposed to be like his dad.
But he
I mean, I know he's there, but it's not. Nah.
Now, after he splits with Ara, Bosk is kind of his surrogate dad after that.
Okay, good.
But also, in one episode, they blow up the Slave One, and they never explain how Boba gets it back. Like,
he's a
it
good mechanic. He just fixed
off
it
off screen, but like, there's a lot of smoke and fire. Anyway, and Boba gets captured and taken to jail, so it's not like he quickly gets back there. Like, it seems like it'd be scavenged for parts, but
well, I guess it wasn't.
He is, this is great. He's captured and put in jail by the same Jedi who killed his father, Mace Windu.
Oh no, Mace Windu.
When he tells Windu, "I can never forgive you." Windu, being the great Jedi master, rather than saying something like, "You don't have to," wise old Windu looks at him and says, "Kid, you're gonna have to."
Whoa, you have to forgive me. I'm gonna make you.
I think this is implying the Jedi are corrupt and Windu will pull some strings to get Boba out of jail. If and only if he pledges allegiance to Windu, maybe.
Well, either that or he is implying that he is so far up his own butt that he truly believes he is the one force for good. And he's like, if you want to be redeemed by me, the Messiah, you must forgive me. Whoa, right? Like, dang. That's the only way. Which fits
the
with
Messiah
the Jedi's
is
attitude.
The one who forgives you.
No. He thinks the opposite. He's like, you need to forgive the Messiah for killing your dad.
Oh, gee. So. In jail, he gets beaten up by Obi-Wan Kenobi, of all people.
Oh, no. The peace-loving monk of
Bosk,
the Jedi.
Bosk comes to his rescue and is like, you got a problem with Boba, you've got a problem with me.
Yay, Bosk. I love Bosk. He's so cool. Does he get his arm chopped off? Please tell me he gets his arm chopped off.
No. Unfortunately, they're not in that episode enough to really do anything.
Okay.
Somehow they escape. I don't know how. They don't show that. And
Boba, at
like 12 years old, somehow manages to cobble together like a little group of bounty hunters, like his own little posse.
Yeah.
He calls them bounty hunters, even though they're being hired as personal security, which is, again, a different thing. So what they're trying to do is stop a train heist.
Whoa,
that's better than what they might do, like Filoni might do later, which is like do a train heist with bounty hunters. He brings Asajj Ventress onto his team.
You're describing an episode of The Clone Wars, the animated show. You're not describing an episode of The Book of Boba Fett, just in case our listeners haven't seen either
of these
shows.
If you're not following. So Asajj Ventress is on his team, but she betrays him. She attacks Boba Fett. She's a Sith Lord, and he's 12 years old.
Yeah, doesn't matter. So he can take her.
She locks him inside a chest and sells him as a sex slave to a gross underground mole king, like Thumbelina style.
Well, that's a problem.
I'm not making that up. So a mole king has ordered a mail order bride, and Ventress takes the original mail order bride for herself, I guess, and sells 12-year-old Boba Fett to the king as the mail order bride. She gets money for it, and he's not even human. He probably doesn't even know the difference.
No.
He just thinks this is his bride.
He
never tells us how Boba gets out of that situation. Just like he never told us how he gets out of jail. Like, he just constantly puts Boba in terrible situations and leaves him there. He hates this guy.
Or maybe he loves him. He's like, I could put this guy in any situation. You know he'll get out of it. Maybe.
Boba as a sex slave to the Mole King is the end of his arc in the Clone Wars. That's the last time we see him. And there was one more planned arc, which you can actually see scenes of on like YouTube. They're not fully rendered, but it's about Boba Fett having like one last face off with Cad Bane. Does that sound familiar?
Whoa, that would be epic if they ever did that.
So I think that the version that they did in the Clone Wars deleted scene you can watch is better than the one they did in Book of Boba Fett, even though it looks terrible.
Well,
because, first of all, Bosk is there. And even though Bosk is working for Cad Bane, Bosk like steps back and he's like, kid, I'm going to stay out of this one. I'm not going to fight you.
All right. I mean, the scorekeeper wouldn't have it any other way.
Yeah. Instead of Boba killing Cad Bane with a freaking gaffy stick, which is like, oh yeah, that's his iconic weapon, the gaffy stick. They just have like a classic Western showdown where they both draw and then Cad Bane falls down dead and Boba also gets shot. But hey, he's wearing Mandalorian armor.
Yeah, good. Good for him. So talking about the Book of Boba Fett now, I feel like bringing Cad Bane back was a cool idea. It's cool to see him in live action. He's a good character.
I love
He's pretty
it when
chilling.
He shows up and just kills Cobb Vanth. Like,
I mean, that was the best thing he could show up and do.
I think he looks so cool in live action. Like he
looks great.
Cool.
He looks
like,
really good.
I actually
I
never
agree.
Really liked the way he looked in Clone Wars. I feel like he looks
no,
kind of
I love,
goofy.
I love his like Amish hat that he wears. Yeah. It's good. It's really cool.
And also in Clone Wars, he has like a weird, maybe slightly racist accent. And luckily they got rid of that for the live action. He just sounds like, you know, a cold Western killer.
The only but that I will give here is, and this probably comes from me just being like a really old school Star Wars fan, I feel like Cad Bane is cool, but why not like Bosk or Dengar or Zakus and Forlum or IG-88? Like, where are the classic bounty hunters?
I'll tell you why not. Because Dave Filoni created Cad Bane. He did not create the classic bounty hunters.
I know.
Everyone wanted Dengar or Bosk or even like Forlum.
No one wanted Dengar. People did want Bosk.
Pegg wanted Dengar.
I know. Oh man, I wish.
But yeah, at least Bosk. Come on. Bosk is like very surprisingly popular. People love Bosk.
I'll never forgive them for doing a Boba Fett show without Bosk. In like the first three episodes, Boba Fett does nothing to build up his crime syndicate.
No,
he has like a fight with the Hutts, and then the Hutts just leave, and then the Hutts just like give him a rancor for no reason. He didn't beat them, and he didn't impress them, and he's done nothing. Yeah, I don't understand.
They sent Chrysantin after him, and he beat Chrysantin, though he didn't. He totally lost to Chrysantin.
Yeah, he totally lost. Well, and Boba Fett loses like every fight he gets in this show.
Yeah,
but I don't understand why anybody is giving Boba Fett the time of day. Like, the first episode starts out with people giving him tribute. Why are people giving him tribute? He's done nothing. He has nothing. He's a man in an empty room.
Like, just because he came in and killed Bib doesn't, like, mean...
No, it doesn't mean he should get anything from anyone. And then, like, in the following episodes, he does nothing to establish himself or to build up his empire. And then the Hutts just leave, and they're like, I guess you win. Here, have a rancor. Why would they give him a rancor? What?
Their excuse is something to do with the Pike Syndicate. They don't want to like.
What do they
fight.
Care about the Pikes? They're the Hutts.
I know the Hutts
run Tatooine. There's no way they would just be like, okay, Pikes, take the planet. We're leaving. When?
Yeah, no, like, it doesn't make any sense.
It's stupid. It was so dumb. All I can say is, I could not believe it when Boba Fett commanded 8D8 not to torture. I was like, this is his job. That's so insane that Boba Fett is like, well, I've got a torture droid. You be my advisor. You tell me how to do protocol. Tell me how to interact with people.
And you're
torture
not allowed
droid.
To torture.
Don't torture. That's the one thing you can't do. That's like commanding Anakin to sit down on the council, but not to be a master. It's outrageous. Oh, it's unfair.
Oh, gee.
It's an affront to nature. Let me tell you.
He's gonna go psycho on all of them one of these days.
He is. Like, seriously, Boba Fett's setting himself up for trouble. You can't command 8D8 not to torture. That's his job. That's what he does.
It's programming.
Sorry.
It's like I will telling it's like telling C-3PO to impersonate a deity.
It is, yeah. Whoa. Or telling him to translate ancient Sith. He can't do that anymore, I guess. Boba Fett is making like less than no effort to run his crime syndicate. And it feels like a massive insult to Jabba, who seemed to be working very hard. Seems like Jabba was working way too hard. He could have, like, done a lot less and gotten by, apparently.
He came all the way himself to Hangar Bay 94 just to talk to Han Solo, who was already getting hunted down by Greedo at that same moment.
he was on the ball. He even went out and attended pod races, which I was hoping they would like have at least like the remnants of a pod race at some point, because we're on Tatooine and he's like the crime lord. There's got to be some kind of pod racing. I understand if it's not in vogue anymore, but there's got to be like some scrappy illegal pod racing circuit. But no, there's no pod racing anymore. It's gone.
Oh, someone in one of the recent shows, gosh, which maybe it was Ahsoka. Someone in one of the recent shows had a poster of Sebulba.
Whoa. That's pretty cool. That's great. That's so cool. Whoa.
You had asked me, why does Boba call Bib Fortuna that bloated pig who betrayed me?
Yeah.
Because in what way did Bib betray him?
Yeah, he didn't double cross Boba Fett in any way. He, like, judging from what I've seen in the Return of the Jedi, Bib Fortuna was like nothing but hospitable and kind to Boba Fett. He just took care of him and brought him to a nice party and, you know, employed him. Does Boba think Bib Fortuna like set off his jetpack and sent him into the Sarlacc?
Couldn't have been.
Like
Han
he
Solo.
Can't believe that stupid Han Solo did it. He's like, it must have been Bib Fortuna. He did it.
Only one powerful enough to defeat me. Yeah.
I just don't get it. What does he have against Bib? Bloated... He seems to hate him.
So I have a theory. I think Boba Fett is referring to himself when he says that bloated pig who betrayed me. He's talking about how the Sarlacc fattened him up into this bloated pig that he doesn't want to be, and how he's been betrayed by himself. It was really
He's like, I've gone native. I've become a Tusken.
It's his fault he fell into the Sarlacc. It's his fault he took so long to get his armor back, get his ship back. I don't know.
You're right. He betrayed himself. I want to talk a little more about episode 3, because that's when they had the infamous and legendary scooter Vespa chase.
The Vespa chase. Wow. So it's like they watched The Fast and the Furious and were like, let's do the exact opposite.
I guess. I mean, I heard tales of this Vespa chase far and wide, and I have to say it met every single expectation that was laid upon me and then some. Like, this race could not have been slower and like,
it's
more
crazy how they
tedious.
Managed to make a high speed chase so slow.
Well, but the weirdest thing to me is that we know they can do speeders. We know they can do speeder chases. They did one in the Return of the Jedi, like,
it's
in
very
the 70s.
Fast.
Yeah. How did this happen?
The only explanation is that Disney just didn't give them the budget they needed. They had this scene
All they
planned.
Had to do was speed up the footage. It doesn't take any budget to do that. I don't understand.
They were like, we can't make the swoops that we wanted to, so let's
well, yeah,
get
okay.
these
we haven't gotten into
carts
this. So
from Disney.
They look so horrible. You're right. They look like rascal mobility scooters. Yes. Dude, I got a story about this. So one time when I was walking around to Disneyland, a couple of people scooted up to me on some scooters that looked suspiciously exactly like these Vespas. It's just like an elderly couple, and they seemed to be having a good time. And I was talking to my kids, and on the front of their scooter, like as a hood ornament, they had like fastened one of those really amazing Salacious Crumb puppet things.
Yeah, that you can buy in Galaxy's
really
Edge.
Cool. I love those things. So I pointed it out to my kids because I love Salacious Crumb. And I was like, see that, kids? That's Salacious Crumb right there. Jabba the Hutt's jester. And I wasn't even saying it like loud. I was just saying it to my kids. And these two, like, they like skirted to a halt. They like drifted
in
sideways.
Their high speed.
And they were like, why did you say that name? And I was like, what, Salacious Crumb? That's his name. Salacious B. Crumb. He's a monkey lizard.
He's a Kowakian monkey lizard.
And they were like, there's so few people that know that. And they like reached into their bag and pulled out like a bunch of pogs or like like poker chips, but with like Salacious Crumb on them. And then they like they were like, hold out your hand. And I was like, okay. And they're like, these are for you. And they like put them in my hand, and I was like, oh, thank you. They're like, you must carry this knowledge with you because so few people know the name of this creature. It's like, this is the weirdest and greatest thing that has ever happened to me. It was so weird. So
you were in Disneyland.
I wasn't even in Disneyland. I was in California Adventure, which was the weirdest part.
You were in California Adventure. And you said a random name. And then some people who did not work there were like, congratulations, you win.
Yes, you win the prize.
You win the Salacious Chrome prize.
And I didn't say it to them. I said it to my kids. Ourselves
to gift to anyone who happens to say its name.
No, it was like they were the Salacious Crumb like cheerleader squad going around spreading Salacious Crumb awareness. It was so weird. But it was also the greatest. Like, I was so happy. I've never been so happy. I was like, yes. I was like, you see, boys, to my kids, I was like, you see what happens when you know who Salacious Crumb is?
Well, there's some definite perks.
For anyone who doesn't know, Salacious Crumb is the little annoying thing that sits in Jabba's fat folds and laughs at everybody. It goes, and also sometimes chews on C-3PO's eyes.
Yeah. And even though Kowakian lizard monkeys seem to be fully sapient, they are enjoyed as a delicacy.
As a delicacy, like,
They're primarily eaten.
But Jabba didn't want to eat.
He didn't want to eat Salacious B. Crumb, but he was like so
Salacious
entertaining.
Salacious B. Crumb made him laugh.
Yeah.
And Salacious B. Crumb is the only creature who is allowed to insult Jabba the Hutt. He will kill anyone for insulting him except for Salacious B. Crumb. So he loves it when Salacious Crumb insults him. He laughs and laughs. He, oh, ho, 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 ho. Anyway, I love Salacious Crumb, and, you know, I always will because of that kindly elderly couple that was just going around spreading the good word of Salacious B. Crumb. But the weirdest thing is they weren't spreading the word. They were waiting for other people to and then rewarding them. It's so weird. I don't understand what they were doing. Like, they had a whole bag full of these Salacious Crumb chips. And they had cards, too. They gave me, like, trading cards with Salacious Crumb on them. It was so weird.
I mean, that's just how they like to spend their day at Disneyland.
What a cool day. I mean, it was like, I'm not even, to this day, I'm not sure if it really happened.
Yeah, they're like just the salacious fairies that show up.
But that makes more sense than what actually happened, doesn't it? Like, why would anyone choose to spend their life scootering around California Adventure trying to find people that utter the name Salacious Crumb? That was a good day, man. That was like the most surreal thing that's ever happened to me. But yeah, those speeders were horrible, and it just confuses me because in the concept art, the speeders actually look pretty decent. But in real life, they're just like horrible rascal mobility scooters with like rear view mirrors everywhere. They look so stupid.
The scout trooper has to like look behind him to see if like Leia's behind him, and then he crashes into a tree like that.
You're right.
He could have used a rearview mirror on his speeder bike.
Wow. If only he'd had that, he wouldn't have crashed. I mean, you know what I think happened? I'm pretty sure one of like the prop guys came up to the director. He's like, man, we just can't make these scooters. All we can afford are a bunch of rascal mobility scooters. How can we make them look futuristic? And the director was like, oh, come on, a little smoke and mirrors ought to do the trick. And then the prop guy was like, mirrors? Like, like lots and lots of rear view mirrors just like jutting off the sides everywhere? And the director's like, yeah, sure, why not? And that's what we got.
Well, that's a good explanation. I know why they rode the Vespas in the Book of Boba Fett.
What?
So a lot of people have just like,
we talked about this in depth. We went to town on this topic. We wouldn't stop talking about the Vespas.
Then, I have figured it out. Here's the real reason, the true reason why they ride these weird looking Vespas. And Torvald, you even commented. You had the piece of evidence we needed.
Okay. Was it the smoke and mirrors? Like all the mirrors?
The mirrors. Yes, the mirrors. Okay. That's exactly it. So we have to take several of these pieces and put them all together and it will all be clear. Yeah. So these people are cyborgs. Boba Fett recruits a bunch of young kids who are cyborgs.
Well, technically they're cyborged. Cyborg is a verb in the Star Wars universe. Yes. You don't become a cyborg, you get cyborged.
Well, but they never call them cyborgs or cyborged. No. They call them mods. They been modded. And he says, I need modifications. That's the word they use, is mods.
That's true.
Now, here's where it all comes together. It's brace yourself, because it is so stupid. It's so stupid.
Okay.
They're mod. Mod was a style in the 60s. It was a Italian Euro subculture that kind of spread over the whole world. One of the things that characterized the mod style was brightly colored things and Italian style scooters, Vespas. And one of the things that marked mod style scooters was to decorate them with a ridiculous amount of mirrors.
Oh my gosh. So a boomer writing a script about some people who call themselves mods would have been like,
oh, the mod culture. That's all it was. I remember that when I was a kid. Hey, what would a mod ride? They'd ride a Vespa.
The whole thing.
They'd ride something Italian. They'd cover it with mirrors. It would be a bright color.
The younger generation has been baffled by this scene. Just like, what is going on? It's just a dumb boomer reference the whole time. That's exactly what it is. they thought it was funny. They were just like, oh yeah, they're mod.
That actually gives me almost slightly more respect for that scene, because that seems very George Lucas-esque.
Yeah,
right.
No.
Like,
right. He had
that's
the
incredibly
1950s diner.
George Lucas. Like, you've seen American Graffiti, right? He was all about, like, the cultures that he grew up with.
Right.
That's all Star Wars is. It's a conglomeration of every culture he liked best from Hollywood, from movies, right?
Yeah.
Like, he's like, yay, Western samurai pirate movie, you know?
So I discovered this by accident, just because I was on a forum where people were saying what would be their dream action figure that hadn't been made yet from the Book of Boba Fett. And one person said the mod girl, girl spelled G-U-R-L.
Yeah, she's a girl. She's not a girl. She's a girl.
Right.
Just like the mod boys are boys, not boys. They're B-O-Y's. They're B-O-I's.
Right. Just because I pride myself on knowing the names of all obscure characters, I looked up mod girl. Just the very first image that popped up on Google, even though I wasn't doing an image search, was a woman standing next to a Vespa just was the Vespa from Book of Boba Fett. And then I look close and I'm like, but that's not the girl from Book of Boba Fett. This picture isn't from Book
of
Boba Fett.
That's from like the 60s.
I'm like, oh, this is a mod girl.
Mod girl. She's a mod girl. Mod culture. Oh, man.
So, yeah. And I was just like, whoa. And then I was looking up I was like, wait, mod Vespas? And then I saw all the mirrors and I was like, oh my gosh, are you kidding me? This mystery is solved. It's just a stupid boomer reference.
It's a silly pun is what it is. It's a pun. Yeah.
The weird thing is, too, though, is that the mods, like the reason we would never think of it is that the mods look like they're like some sort of 80s cyberpunk style.
Yeah.
You know?
They're
not mod style, except when they're on Vespas.
Well, then they're mod style. Well, that's really, really interesting and also kind of fun. And like I said, that actually makes me enjoy that scene just a little more.
I think it helps because 60s, you know, all the styles from then are like really campy, kitschy. It makes you realize, the incredibly slow high-speed chase was meant to be silly and stupid.
Yeah.
They weren't taking it seriously.
Scene.
They wanted a campy scene. Like us watching it, we're kind of like, is this supposed to be funny? I mean, it is, but I don't know if it's supposed to be. Now we know. It was supposed to be a funny scene. And
I fully take it that way because the guy who is attempting to escape is like, you know,
the comic relief.
Well, yeah, he's the most flamboyant comic relief in the entire show. So it's not like he's going to have a serious high-speed chase with like real consequences. It's silly. It's funny.
You know the crazy thing though? That Twi'lek, I was looking it up, he doesn't have an official name. It's so weird. He has so many lines.
What? No, and no one has named him yet? Like, there are many characters in Star Wars that don't have names, but then just get names.
Yeah, no one's named him yet. He is called Unnamed Twi'lek Majordomo on Wikipedia. So
wow.
After he just mods Fennec and she wakes up, this is probably the best part of Book of Boba Fett. I finally got the fan service I wanted, because when he says, I am Boba Fett, she gives him a look like she is just so impressed. Like, oh,
yeah. I know.
And that is amazing. And she's an assassin, and it makes sense. She knows who Boba Fett is. And I have to give props to the actor Ming-Na Wen, who also voices
Mulan. She's Mulan. Come on. Oh, she's so cool.
I have to give props for just, she didn't even have any lines, but she fulfilled my dreams. Someone was finally impressed that he was Boba Fett.
But like,
even though he didn't have the armor.
That line drop, though, that didn't even compare, I'm assuming, to like the amazing line that every Boba Fett fan was waiting for in episode one. When he was like, I am not a bounty hunter. And I was like,
You're just like, what?
Why would you ever have Boba Fett say that?
In the movies, they refer to you simply as the bounty hunter.
He was like, I am not a Sith or a Jedi. I hate the Force.
Luke, I am not your father.
I am not your father. Whoa, that's what I should have gone with. That's amazing. Yes.
That's what everyone wants
Darth
to hear
Vader
from that
like,
movie.
Luke, I am not your father. No, I was wrong.
No! Wait.
The most mind-blowing thing to me was when Boba Fett, in his own TV show, said they had to go get his ship, and he called it the Fire Spray Gunship. He didn't say the name of his ship. Disney wouldn't let him.
Well, but again,
you gave me a great justification for that.
Boba Fett does not want to be like Han Solo, who's like, what, you've never heard of the Millennium Falcon? When Han Solo didn't say, I can bring you there in my, like, whatever, YT-1300 light freighter, you know?
Well, but also, Han Solo didn't want to say that because that's like saying, I can bring you there in my Winnebago, you know? Like, everyone would know what that is, and he'd be like, what,
but
a
Boba
freight
Fett
hauler?
Did not want Fennec to be confused if he said, we gotta go get my slave one. She'd be like, what are you talking about? But she knows what a fire spray gunship is.
Yes. And also, I mean, I get that. I completely understand. He didn't say it. He also didn't want to confuse her and make her think they were gonna go get something that was completely different from what he actually wanted,
because there are slaves in Jabba's palace.
Yes.
And he survived the Sarlacc's belly, so he might have been saying, hey, maybe Ula survived the Rancor's belly. Let's
she's
go
still in there
her.
We gotta get her
slave
out.
Slave one, she's my number one. What?
Oh no. Yes, I can understand, he wanted to be specific. He's like, let's go get my fire spray gunship. As they're sneaking in to Jabba the Hutt's palace to liberate the fire spray, they find out that 99, the torture administrator bot, the Queen of Durasteel, the Mistress of Mayhem, those are literally, canonically, her titles.
Yes, and she is actually the one in charge of all droids at Jabba's palace, or she was.
She's not anymore. She's been reduced to cooking.
Sous chef.
Yeah, not even the head chef.
She's
she is
not the
sous chef.
Chef.
I'm just like, why the massive demotion? Like, the only thing I can think of to justify this is if... No. I think that 99 always had ambitions of becoming a chef droid. And Jabba was, like, taking some sick pleasure and, like, holding her back. He's like, you want to cook? You
can't
cook.
That's why she was so mean to the other droids.
Yeah,
she just hated her job.
That's why she's so mean. I think that the gracious Bib Fortuna has benevolently allowed her to pursue her passion, and she can become a chef like she always wanted.
Well, good for Bib. He was a good leader.
He seems to be. I've never seen Bib Fortuna do anything mean to anybody. That's all I'll say about him.
Yeah,
I've only seen him be
nice
and
when
gracious.
When Boba walks in, he's like, Boba, my old buddy.
You asked about the actor who voiced 99 in the Book of Boba Fett, as well as like kind of her backstory. So 99 is still a female droid. 99 is unique in that, unlike other droids, she is sadistic. Something about her programming makes her want to harm people. She gave herself that third eye so that she could, like, see.
It let her see the pain of droids.
Whoa. In the new canon, after the events of Return of the Jedi, she reformed and she decided that she doesn't want to hurt people or robots anymore.
What? Why?
And she became a bartender at the Mos Eisley Cantina, which is strange because they don't allow droids there.
But when the Mandalorian goes in there in season one, It is a droid bartender, so.
It is, in fact, 99.
Well, I didn't know it was her. I knew it was something that it looked is. Like her.
No, it is 99. Canonically, that's what it's supposed to be. And interestingly enough, the person they got to voice 99 is Mark Hamill.
What?
Yes, that's in The Mandalorian. I think that it would have made more sense for that not to be 99.
Well, yeah.
But they say that it is. And they say that the droid working in Jabba's palace that looks and sounds just like 99, working where she used to work, is not 99. They say this is a different droid.
So maybe she had to like sneak out. She had to like.
That's
build
what I think. I think she's like working a double life
parts.
Or something. I don't know.
For that she had tortured off of other droids so she could escape herself.
The person who voiced 99 in The Book of Boba Fett was Sam Witwer. And he clearly was like, he lived for this. He's been waiting his whole life to voice 99. And in an interview, he specifically said that this is 99. And he said that he carefully measured his line readings against the original 99 line readings to match her cadence.
He did a good job.
He did. He did an amazing job because he voiced her. I take his word for it. This is 99.
That is 99. The one in the cantina isn't 99. I didn't think it was when Mando comes in.
I mean, according to, you know, Filoni and Favreau, that was 99. And this wasn't. I choose to believe the opposite. I choose to believe that that was some other droid at Mos Eisley Cantina and that this is 99. Mark Hamill was happy to voice a droid working at Mos Eisley Cantina because he felt like that was some kind of like poetic justice in the universe. Because when he was there last, they said, "We don't serve your kind here to droids." And now it's the droids that are running the show. So,
I mean, Chalmun came around.
I thought that was really nice that Mark Hamill would think so much about that.
Yeah.
I thought that was fun.
That's good.
There you go. That's the Odyssey of 99, the greatest droid ever,
so
the Queen of Durasteel, the Mistress of Mayhem.
They go to kill the Sarlacc with the Slave One.
They kill the Sarlacc with a seismic charge.
What's weird, though, is that the Sarlacc pulls them in with its tentacles, right? And I like how they left the beak for last. So for a while, it's just the classic Sarlacc.
Yeah,
that was nice.
Yeah.
The classic Sarlacc is so much scarier than the beak Sarlacc because it's like,
I agree.
You don't even know what it is. It's like this.
I know.
You know,
it's like weird.
Cthulhu-esque
like a spiked
horror.
Hole.
Like,
yeah.
Just
a, like you don't know what.
Why when
down
you
there.
Fall into it, do you? Are you just? You're just dead. You're gone. You know, like it's terrifying.
Well, and like when something falls in, the hole itself, like. Moves like it's like happy after something falls in. It's so
burps.
Creepy. Yeah.
So I found it odd that when the Slave One was being pulled extremely close to the Sarlacc, there is apparently a drop bomb alarm that goes off when it gets caught by Sarlaccs, which I think is ostensibly the worst time to drop a bomb because you're right there.
Probably. To me, the weirder thing was that the drop bomb alarm is placed in a way that you can't reach it if you're sitting in your chair.
Yeah.
You got to like get out of your chair upside down and backwards to hit that button. It's a pretty cool ship.
I mean, the Slave One's just an amazing ship.
I mean, it was a prototype. The fire spray line never, you know, went into production. There were some things they needed
to
change.
Jango saw it and he was like, "That's the one for me."
And I will destroy all the others so no one can ever have one. The fire spray is mine.
People are like, "We didn't want one."
Yep.
I think he chose because it's so challenging to fly and use.
Whoa, he's like, "It would be too easy for me if my ship worked right. I need a challenge." Oh, I love the Slave One. What
like
a
this,
weird ship.
It flies like
flies
this.
Like this.
Like that doesn't seem right.
Speaking of robot chicken, the next episode of Mandalorian, sorry, you might be confused because it's actually an episode of The Book of Boba Fett, but it seems like an episode of The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
I heard about this episode again. Like, I heard lots of people saying, "Whoa, that's weird that there's an episode of The Mandalorian in The Book of Boba Fett." I didn't realize that people were not exaggerating, and if anything, they were selling it short.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this episode, not only does Boba Fett not even make an appearance in his own show, but also it's jam-packed with actual Mandalorian plot.
Yeah, you need like, to watch it.
It doesn't, his show won't make sense if you didn't see this random episode of The Book of Boba Fett, a completely different show. And it's like, we've got Mandalorian reuniting with his clan. We got Darksaber training. We've got a duel for the Darksaber. We've got him becoming disgraced for having revealed his face. We've got a new quest to reach the waters of Mandalore for redemption. He builds a new starship. Like, all of this is massively heavy plot, and Boba Fett is not even here.
Yeah, it's weird.
Did they just run out of ideas?
That episode is just pure Mandalorian. He's bumbling around even worse than he normally does.
Well, yes, he did cut off his own leg and then, like,
leg off, goes and has to fight his own team, like his own people team. He's coming to for help. Then
gets disgraced and forced to leave.
Has no ship, has to use public transportation and go through like security, and they won't let him
has
take
to
his
defy
weapons.
His religion by putting his weapons in a box.
I love that he has to deal with airport security.
He bought another Razor Crest, and he shows up, and it's not a Razor Crest. And he's like, screw you, give me my money back. And she's like, no. And he's like, okay, I'll take it.
Yeah.
he just takes whatever she has.
It's like an ancient Naboo starfighter. Like,
yep.
They weren't widely used,
so
I imagine, because they're not that good.
It's so fast.
Yeah, but who cares? All of them can go past light speed. They have hyperspace.
I know.
It doesn't matter how fast
this one
it is
can, like, do
at sublight
hyperspace speeds at sublight speed. It's so good. It
doesn't make
it's
any like sense.
Well, and it's horrible for a bounty hunter because it has no space. Can't even carry cargo.
Where
it can barely carry Baby Yoda. It's so bad for him.
I think that's the whole reason they didn't have him hunt any bounties in season 3.
This episode ends with the lady asking him how the ship was. And he gets out and says, wizard, which can only be a reference to
Robot
Chicken. Right? That's all it could be. No one says wizard until Anakin brought it back. So, and now Mando's bringing it back.
So Robot Chicken has an amazing series of Star Wars episodes. And in it, Anakin often says the word wizard. he really likes
that. Well,
to
describe cool things.
It'd be pretty wizard.
At least it restores my faith somewhat in the writers if they've seen the legendary Robot Chicken Star Wars stuff.
Maybe that explains the Boba Fett series a little bit, because that's kind of what he does in Robot Chicken. He just comes back to Jabba's palace naked and dances around.
And dances around, dude. You're right.
That's what Boba
does. He dances
does.
Around naked. But in the Robot Chicken, he does take his helmet off, and he's even... Oh, he looks even better without the helmet.
He's alone.
What's
though,
that?
Like,
you want a bit of boba?
Looks like you got your hands up like you're begging for a little bit of boba. That is my favorite boba and favorite boba voice.
It is. He's a fantastic Boba Fett actor, that voice actor.
Voiced by the amazing Breckin Meyer.
Yeah.
What other quotes does he have?
You almost make me drink my spill. I'm going to shoot you now.
I was so glad that for the face-off between Cad Bane and Boba Fett, they did allow Boba Fett to beat Cad Bane all by himself.
Yeah, finally.
I was so worried they would have someone come and save him.
Yeah.
Because that has happened in every other fight he's been in for this entire show. So he finally got to actually win a fight, and it was with Cad Bane.
Yeah, and it's like an old enemy of his, so that's kind of cool, I guess.
All the goodness of that episode was kind of tainted by the fact that at the very end...
they have to show Cobb Vanth
in the back
still
of the tank.
Alive.
Okay, I thought for sure, 100%, I was dead set on, oh boy, it's going to scroll over there and show those two Gamorrean guards in the back to tank, like having a Fifth Element moment.
That would have been so hot. Oh my gosh, that's what they wanted to do.
I'm so sad. Those guys were so loyal and they just got pushed off a cliff. I thought for sure they would come back. They were like my favorite characters in the whole show. They tried so hard.
Random little naked pig boys.
I know. I love those little naked piggies. They're so great. They're green little pigs. Like, I just felt like they needed to have someone die for the gravity, And I felt like the two Gamorrean guards dying did not give enough gravity, even though it was gravity that killed them. Yeah. I thought they were going to have the Wookiee die, but no, he just survived.
That's not as bad as like a random throwaway line in Solo where Woody Harrelson, like I forgot this line, but apparently Woody Harrelson's character killed Ara Singh.
Whoa, okay.
And yeah, like Lando walks up to him and is like, hey, I heard you killed Ara Singh. Thanks. No. I owed her money. And he's like, well, I didn't kill her. I'm pretty sure it was the stop at the end of that fall that killed her, or something like that.
But Ara Singh, she's like...
Yeah, she's killed by that random dude, that random Woody Harrelson character, whatever. I don't even remember his name.
That sucks.
Yeah, that that's horrible. Stupid. I mean, it was a fall that killed her, and he says he's pretty sure. So, you know, she could still be alive. Maybe he didn't actually stop and wait to see.
So I was thinking about what you said about Dr. Aphra, and I was like, you know what? 100% at some point, someone will be given the reins of a live-action Star Wars property.
Yeah, for sure.
Who has roots in Dr. Aphra's story. And they will work her into a scene to canonize her completely. It's going to happen. If you were ever given the opportunity to work on anything Star Wars related, what you need to do is to work. You got to beat them to the punch. You have to include Dr. Aphra before anyone else can. And you need to do it in such a way that the main character of whatever you're working on, let's say it's Boba Fett season 2, he needs to, the very first episode, Fennec is like, okay, Boba Fett, let's go talk to those huts. And then he's just out of nowhere be like, yes, but first I have to kill Dr. Aphra. And then he opens the door and she's sitting there and he shoots her in the face. No explanation of who she is. He just kills her and then they walk away. And then you cut to another scene with like a subtitle that says 2000 years later. And it's just a gravestone that says, Dr. Aphra killed by Boba Fett on this date. She never came back. Exactly. Because that's the only way you could permanently kill a Star Wars character. Because I was like, even if you had Boba Fett kill her, someone would write a comic where she like gets up and crawls away and actually it wasn't a killing shot. So you have to have that extra scene where there's a gravestone and it specifically says she was killed. And then... you could even follow it up with like maybe someone digging up the grave and being like, yep, that's her in there, and then closing it. I don't know. That would probably be too far. Anyway, there you go. That's how to canonize the death of a Star Wars character. And that's the only way, because otherwise someone will bring them back. It's the only way.
I think you may have solved the mystery. I think... the person who was handed the reins to the Boba Fett show felt how we do about Dr. Aphra.
About Boba Fett. I know. Yeah, but I mean, someone could still write a comic where he decides to become a bounty hunter again. I hope and pray.
Oh, please.
That's the only way you could do it, though, with a side character would be to beat Disney to the punch. Do it before someone who actually knows who that character is. And make sure to include the scene where you cut to the future and they are still dead and have always been dead.
Oh, I love it. It's a good pitch.
There you go. So, yeah, I thought that up just for you because I was like, how could Eric kill off Dr. Aphra? Because it does. Even if you have a named character like Boba Fett kill her, someone's going to bring her back. Someone will do it, right? Like, she's a comic character. She'll come back. Comic characters always come back. So you gotta cut to the future. You gotta show that she never came back. Anyway, there you go.
Oh.
Okay, Fennec. But first I have to kill Dr. Aphra.
Kill Dr. Aphra.
Oh, man.
My last theory. I know why Boba Fett no longer wears his Beskar codpiece.
What? Why? Did he lose his balls?
Yes, he lost his junk in the Sarlacc. His genitals are gone. Those are soft tissue, and they were quickly digested in the Sarlacc. Now, how do we know this for sure? Boba Fett's armor always included a codpiece. Even after he loses it, the codpiece is still intact. We know that because Barfbag Cobb Vanth in Mando Season 2 is wearing the armor, including the codpiece. Mm-hmm. Boba Fett recovers all the armor. And yet he does not put on the codpiece. Now, you could argue that...
He is so practical. He's like... Yeah. He's so utilitarian. He's like, if I don't need the armor to protect a vital piece, I won't wear it.
Yeah.
He's like, I got no junk, so I got no armor. Get exactly. rid of that codpiece.
Exactly.
Wow.
He's just like, nope, I don't want the extra weight. I got nothing to protect, so I don't put it on. And, but here's the thing. We know canonically that Boba Fett knows how protective that codpiece can be, because there actually is a prominent blaster mark on the codpiece. So it did protect his junk once. no purpose for it anymore, so he doesn't wear it.
Can't argue with that.
I mean, he's a clone. I'm pretty sure he was infertile anyway.
That's true. You're right.
Actually, that's not true. The clone troopers can have kids, weirdly enough.
I guess Boba's got a big family. You'd think they would have made them sterile.
Yeah, no, they should have. It doesn't make any sense, but...
They would have.
Well, there's a non-canon comic. Jango is sent to assassinate someone. He finds out that the person he's assassinating is a clone trooper who, like, escaped.
He went against his programming and has a family now. Aww.
It's actually a really good comic. And the clone trooper has a child. And Jango cannot fail. So he murders the clone trooper. But... He sets up some sort of thing that transfers money to this child and his mother, like, every month.
What a nice guy.
Flash forward, Boba Fett is randomly sent to hunt down this son of a clone trooper. So it's like they're brothers, kind of. He, just like his dad, you know, even though he realizes they may have something in common, he will not fail in a bounty.
He's Boba Fett.
So he brings this guy back to the evil crime lord who has, like, rancors that he just like keeps.
Okay, I know this one.
Boba Fett is like, Boba Fett's like, I'm a bounty hunter. I do what I'm paid to do. And so he's giving him to the crime lord, and the crime lord says, I'm gonna kill this stupid little kid. And the kid is like, Boba, and he reaches into his pocket. He's like, I have 2 credits. I want to hire your services to protect me. And then the crime lord laughs like,
the great Boba Fett would never work for so little money.
And Boba says, I accept. He takes out the entire crime syndicate and takes out like 2 rancors.
Whoa. And then Boba Fett would do anything for any amount of money.
The kid is like, thank you, Boba. Yeah, you know, your father let me live and he's been helping me. This really means a lot to me that you would protect me. And Boba just holds out his hand. He's like, what? He's like, you owe me 2 credits. So the kid pays him, and then that's it.
Payment received.
Now that would have been a good episode of the Book of Boba Fett.
Sure would have. Like, that would have been great.
Taking out a crime syndicate single-handedly, but like, he's
for two
he's
credits.
Badass, but he's just weird enough that you're like, I'm interested in him. It doesn't matter if he like wins easily. I just want to know who this strange person is.
You could have done a lot of things with Boba Fett that weren't what they did.
Well,
and all
so
of those
stupid.
Things would have been right.
They have a massive library of EU stories that people already like. Why not pull from that? They own it. They bought it.
I just have to say, I'm surprised at the end of the Book of Boba Fett that somebody didn't like walk up to Boba Fett and be like, so who are you? Are you a bounty hunter? Are you a crime lord? Who are you? And then he said, I'm Boba Skywalker, because that's what everyone does nowadays.
I mean, he was standing right there on Tatooine. There's no reason shouldn't have said that.
He should have, and he could have buried his gaffy stick and become a Skywalker. Can you believe that they're not even going to make like a second season because of how stupidly they screwed up that show? It's all their fault.
So they're punishing
that show
us.
Was an easy
they
slam
still
dunk.
Have jobs.
It was the easiest
and,
slam
and
dunk
we're
ever.
We're the ones who
they
get
made
punished.
Millions. They emptied Disney's piggy bank and put it all in their pockets. And now we don't get another season because they were so stupid.
We want more Boba Fett. People want more Boba Fett.
Yes, everyone wants.
Because
dude,
they...
You know, the way the Book of Boba Fett, you know, kind of just didn't really go over well with the fans. I think people are tired of Boba Fett. I think the fans just don't want more Boba Fett
anymore. Yeah,
just
don't like him anymore.
That's probably it, right? Because, you know, the story couldn't be flawed. Or
wasn't our fault. We get to keep our jobs,
couldn't be that they didn't
sure.
take care of a beloved character or didn't, like, bother to include any real fan service besides, like, you know, incredibly small references like a seismic
mod
bomb
culture.
In mod culture. Now that's some pretty good fan service. No, it couldn't be that. It's just people don't like Boba Fett anymore. That's got to be it. So let's focus more on the Mandalorian. That's what people like nowadays. Yeah. It's not even that people love the Mandalorian and Boba Fett.
He is Boba Fett. They're the same thing. My very final theory to wrap this up.
Oh, you got more. Oh boy. Okay.
Is that Boba Fett is invincible on a meta level. Star Wars has killed or tried to kill Boba Fett so many times. He's been thrown in the Sarlacc.
Yeah.
That was one time. Then in the prequels, even though he was loved for being so unique, they decided to make him the least unique person in the galaxy.
That's a great choice.
Not only is there another Boba Fett named Jango, but everyone in the clone army is also Boba Fett.
And
there's Mandalorians everywhere.
Yeah, lots of Mandalorians. So, everyone wears Boba Fett armor.
Everyone is Boba Fett. Then they killed Boba Fett again when they made
The Mandalorian
instead of the Boba Fett show. So, and they killed him a final time with the Book of Boba Fett. Yet despite...
Well, I think this might be it for him.
But just to end on an optimistic note, despite having never been treated well or fairly in any single official live action or even animated film, he is still as ridiculous. Like, he's still very popular. His toys make more money than most of the other characters, except for maybe Mandalorian and Darth Vader. Despite everything he's been through, Boba Fett cannot be killed. And no matter what meat grinder they put him through next, I'm sure he will endure. So what do you think of my theory? Do you think that Dave Filoni copied his Darth Maul story for the Book of Boba Fett?
No, that makes a lot of sense. I actually didn't know that much about Darth Maul's story in the Clone Wars. And looking at his story and comparing it to Boba Fett's story, it's the same story.
Yeah.
It's the same. I mean, the moment-to-moment stuff is different, but the story beats are the same. So, yeah, it's the same story.
Yes, I know that the Book of Boba Fett, the showrunner is listed as Jon Favreau. And of course, everyone loves him because he created The Mandalorian. But Filoni is the one who is in charge of all of Star Wars. And he's also listed as an executive producer on this show. And if you don't know this, in TV speak, producer can mean a lot of things. But if you're one of the bigger producers in TV, you are a writer. If you're an executive producer, you are often one of the showrunners. Executive producer can also mean a lot of other things. Maybe you're not. But Filoni, in this case, most certainly was, because he reused his Darth Maul storyline.
Well, all right. The proof is because it's the way it is.
If you like our podcast, you can support us on Patreon.
We really appreciate it.
You can talk to us
like,
on
subscribe,
Twitter.
Like, subscribe, leave a review.
You can comment on our YouTube videos. We like that. And until next time,
the popcorn isn't real.